But Gerrard! Oh, here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to the second episode of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
And today we're going to lead off with some breaking news. Chuck, there is no more Paul Clement at Swansea City. What is your first reaction to this, seeing as it just broke within the last 10 minutes?
I thought that Swansea was going down with Paul Clement. So now without him, I think it's almost as much of a lock as you can give that they're getting relegated.
Yeah, I'm not surprised for this to happen. I thought he's been on the hot seat for a while, and Swansea, I guess, did a relatively good job of keeping their business in-house since there hadn't been, we knew that he needed a result, and after the being defeated at Everton, after taking an early lead, that was never going to be a good sign for him. Who do you think is best, in best position to come in and take over?
Well, it seems like the general consensus is that Tony Pulis is going to make his triumphant return to the Premier League less than a month after getting fired because there's no better options out there.
Yeah, I was going to say with, Big Sam off the table, and then I guess the next choice maybe would have been David Moyes. I could definitely see Tony coming in. I've also heard, looking at some rumblings about Ronald Koeman, although I don't know if Swansea really has the personnel for him to come in and be effective.
I don't think Koeman takes it.
Yeah, I don't think it would be in either party's interest for that to be who ends up there. You think there's the potential of maybe Ryan Giggs slipping in there? I did just see a tweet mentioning his name. You think that would be something that would be viable for him or the club, or you think it's best if he stays away and gets his first look managing elsewhere?
I mean, at some point he needs to get the managerial experience, and what better place to get it than in a relegation fight? But this could be a position that could destroy his reputation forever.
Yeah, as a United fan and a longtime fan of Ryan Giggs, I hope that he stays away and doesn't take the bait. But moving right along, speaking of people in the relegation battle working their way out, Crystal Palace pulled a fast one, 3-0 over Leicester at the weekend. I don't know what to make of this.
It was a fluke.
You buying or selling Palace right now?
I need to see a lot more from Palace before I buy them, because one, without Mamadou Sakho, Palace doesn't keep clean sheets, even though they did keep one against Leicester. Two, I still don't believe that Christian Benteke is very good, and he's suspended in their upcoming game. And three, I just believe that their only useful player for FPL purposes is Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah, I'd agree, definitely from an FPL perspective, especially with, two of their goals coming. Granted, the last one was kind of irrelevant because it was in, the 3-0 route, but two of them have come from Sakho off the bench. Then again, Palace kind of get lucky catching currently managerless Swansea City this week. So I guess short term, I could see them getting another win just because Swansea are in turmoil, but I'm definitely not buying it long term. As for other teams pulling off somewhat surprising results, Huddersfield with a win away.
Yeah, that they've gotten some thumping away wins this season that have not been expected. I'm more likely to actually buy into the hype around Huddersfield, but not around the player that's being most surrounded after his brace last weekend, and that's Aaron Moy.
Why aren't you buying him? Because I personally think if you're looking for a budget option, $5.3 million, selected by 6.6% right now, I kind of like Moy because when he plays well, he gets bonus points. He usually gets at least one or two. Why aren't you buying him?
My issue with Moy is that he is extremely hot or cold, and there's been long spells between his returns in the Premier League this season. Like, he got an assist in his first game of the season, then followed that up with getting a goal in his second game. Then he went 6 games before getting another goal. And then it took him another 8 games before scoring his brace this past weekend.
Yeah, that is a good point. But then again, he's so central to Huddersfield's success that I think, you know, over the next 6 matches, they have relatively good matchups. They're at Southampton this weekend, and they're home against Stoke. Home against Burnley is kind of at Leicester, home against West Ham, away at Stoke. I think that for the price of, you know, 5.3 million, you could do a hell of a lot worse than him. What about up front? You like any of their attackers?
Not for an FPL perspective. I'd only really look at their attackers as streaming options in draft leagues.
Okay. Well, who do you think is going to get the start this weekend? Not to catch you off guard, but you got, you know, Tuportre coming off of a goal and 2 assists. And then you got Steve Mounier, who's been kind of left out in the cold with Tuportre in form.
I think you have to start Tuportre until further notice right now.
Yeah, so that's something definitely to consider. But either way, neither of them will be cracking my FPL lineup this weekend. A defender who might be cracking my lineup, which I'm a little upset about, he plays for Watford, and his name's Jan Matt. Chuck, what is wrong with Watford? What the hell is wrong with Watford?
Well, to start, they're too undisciplined to be able to finish a game with 11 men on the field. And that means that they leave their entire defense out to dry on a regular basis.
Yeah, little did we know that what was supposed to be a cold take last week was actually an extremely hot take.
Yep, I think it's now getting to being a burning hot take at this point, because it's 4 straight games with the red card.
Watford are, I don't really know what to think of this, because it's starting to seem like it's something to do with the player's mentality, and I don't even know if it's something Silva can change right now. I think it's just something he needs to just roll with. So he's got Ziegler out this week. He's facing a 4-match ban. They have God knows how many injuries. And I think you said they're looking at having, what, possibly 10 guys out?
Yep, you got them missing 10 to 12 guys potentially this weekend. So until further notice, I'm not touching anyone on Watford, not named Richarlison.
Yeah, I don't see any value outside of Richarlison, considering with Decore out. I mean, Decore is their top scorer with 6 goals this season. That's the only other guy I would have given a look, but, I mean, he's not even eligible to play this week. So, with that said, taking the trash out with Watford, we'll move along to someone who should be in most people's teams. He's in my team, Romelu Lukaku. What do you think about him this weekend against Leicester, and are you buying him as a must-have in all FPL sides?
Well, I can't officially call him a must-have because I started the season with him and then sold him. But his upcoming fixtures are at Leicester, home versus Burnley, home versus Southampton, at Everton, then home versus Stoke. And so that's not necessarily a bad run, but it's also not an easy run either. But Lukaku has been one of, I'm pretty sure, the most consistent performer in FPL this season, having registered 5-plus points in 12 of 17 games this year. The interesting thing is he hasn't really broken into double digits in very many games, which once you get to his price range, that's kind of what you're expecting.
Yeah, last time he hit double digits was week 5 when he had a goal and an assist versus Everton. But his consistency, I mean, it's definitely worth noting. He's tied for 3rd in goals and forwards. He's 3rd in assists, and he's like the 4th most owned player. I think as a United fan, he's in my team. He's going to stay in my team. And if you look at who he scored against, I mean, this kind of opposition he's going to come up against is a perfect ground for him to maybe score 3 or 4 more goals.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because one of the biggest issues with this FPL season has been rotation, inconsistent scoring. So if you want someone who's a good bet to get you your 5 points a week and potentially go off on a hot tear, you can do much worse than Lukaku.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's going to get on the score sheet this weekend against Leicester, who, after quite an impressive run, are going to be licking their wounds after getting battered by Crystal Palace. Is this the end of Leicester's resurgence? Do you think they're going to come back down to earth, or do you think that it was just a blip on the radar and there's no, you know, there's no concern over at the King Power Stadium?
So while I definitely think that they've been overperforming for the past couple of weeks, and they will be coming up against some tough opposition, that's not going to cause me to move off of the Riyad Mahrez hype train, just because of the fact that he's a good enough player to start for any of the top six teams, so he's a good enough player to score against them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be, I didn't do it this week, but I'm most likely going to be hopping off of Damari Gray. He's been in form, and he's been providing, you know, sufficient for returns for his price. I mean, at $5.3 million, he's got, you know, 2 goals in his last 4 games. Granted, he started last week and what was a dud for everyone and came off the bench against Southampton. We should talk about last week, because I'll hand it to you. You were totally right. Captaining Coutinho was a better move than captaining Salah.
Yep, and that led to me scoring, I think, believe 4 more points than you, because you were at 54, and I was at 57.
Yeah, and you got to factor in, I took a 4-point hit for bringing in Janmaat. I got a little carried away when I got home from seeing The Last Jedi on Friday night, early Saturday morning. Brought him into the side. He got me -1 and -4 overall. But overall, taking the hit was good to bring in Salah. I mean, I got a green arrow for the first time in quite a while. Even though 50 points wasn't great overall, it's still better than I had done the last previous week. This week, though, looking ahead, who is on your radar to bring into your side? Are you going to go big? Are you going to go small? Are you going to take a hit?
Well, I am avoiding taking a hit, and I am hopping off of owning Gabriel Jesus, because he played 120 minutes in the cup yesterday, and he has been extremely underwhelming in my side for these past 3 weeks. So I'm taking him out for Roberto Firmino.
Ooh, are you going to be captaining him against Arsenal?
I'm not, but I'm still captaining a Liverpool player, leaving that armband on Coutinho.
Hey, it's a wise choice after his performance last week. This week, I will be taking another hit. This is the third week in a row I'm doing so. But this is really just to bring in Raheem Sterling. I mean, between him and Salah, my midfield, I'm really looking forward to that. And then I hopped off the Kolasinac train, since I don't even know what's up with him. And then he played in midweek against Arsenal in the cup. I didn't see that coming. So I brought in Masuaku from West Ham. That means I'm going heavy on West Ham against Newcastle. So let's hope that we can come on Field of Moyes. Come on Field of Moyes. But before we talk about West Ham and their current resurgence, we're going to start by looking at Saturday morning's match between in-form Everton and Chelsea.
The good old Big Sam gravy train.
So you're riding the gravy train?
So I think it's finally rolling into its first true litmus test for the year.
Dude, it's going to be a tough test against Chelsea. Chelsea, they're always a tough opposition. They're always good. And it's always hard to bet against them, even against the informed side like Everton. I mean, Cesc Fabregas been on fire. He's been involved in 7 goals in his last 5 matches. He's got 3 goals and 4 assists. You think Everton's upstart defense is going to be able to quell the Blues' attack?
Oh, I think that's really the only thing they can hope for in this game, because I don't believe that Everton's attack is necessarily good enough to trouble Chelsea unless they draw another penalty and Wayne Rooney either scores it or does something interesting with it that leads to a goal.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised having Calvert-Lewin and Kenny on my side last week with them benefiting from both those penalties. But this week, Lewin's going to be most likely on my bench, and then I'm going to hope that they're going to get a clean sheet somehow, but at the same time, I'm not confident in it.
The interesting thing for this is going to be watching Guelphy, because at the beginning of the Everton-Swansea game, he wasn't really that effective, but then after the half, Big Sam took off Morgan Schneiderlin and brought on Tom Davies, moving to more of a 4-1-4-1 formation. Rather than having Guelphy as the front man in three up top, he was actually playing him as an out and out winger or wide midfielder, and he was much more effective there, actually creating some trouble for Swansea. And that, plus him being on set plays and it only costing $8 million, could be a pretty interesting transfer option.
Yeah, and his goal, he came in, kind of drifted inside from the left and picked up the ball from Wayne Rooney, and then, I mean, that was a wonderful strike.
You can't give Guelphy that much space and expect him not to make you pay.
Yeah, I mean, especially with him playing his former club, who know very well exactly what he can do from that position. I found that extremely surprising that they afforded him that much space. I mean, he's not going to have that much space to do that against Chelsea, especially considering Chelsea's defense has been relatively good of late. I'm leaning towards Chelsea in this one. However, I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals involved in this match. I could see them maybe under 2.5 if I was betting on this match.
That sounds pretty good, because I think if anyone wins it, they won't win it by more than a 2-1 margin.
Moving along to another match that probably won't have a lot of goals in it, Brighton clash with the depleted Watford.
Yeah, I've got nothing here.
I was going to say, do you want to start, or do you want me to? I don't really know. There's not a lot to talk about besides Watford's injuries and Brighton not being that great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's really only two, maybe three players to watch in this entire game.
Well, I guess I'll start with Matt Ryan. If you're looking for a goalkeeper, $4.5 million, pretty low ownership. He's got at least 4 saves in 6 of his last 7 matches. And I guess if you're looking for a stat kind of to spin zone, putting Ryan in your team, last 7 games at home, Brighton are 2 wins, 5 draws, and just 1 loss. But that's really all I could say about their side. I mean, I got rid of Pascal Gross this week. I think that he kind of exceeded expectations, and while he's probably going to be good for a couple more assists, I do not see one coming this week, even against a Watford side that are going to be without a lot of players.
And then for Watford, as I said earlier, I'm only touching Richarlison in that team until further notice.
Yeah, well, that was a splendid preview of what should be a cracking match. Now we can kind of take our time talking about this one, because there's going to be a ton of value in Manchester City's clash with Bournemouth. Who do you like the most in this match?
Almost the entire City midfield, or really whoever City trots out in their starting 11 would be a perfectly valid choice in FPL for me. The interesting thing is looking at the fact that Gabriel Jesus, Bernardo Silva, and Ilkay Gundogan all played the full 120 minutes in their cup match. And so by normal Pep standards, they'd all be rotated in this game. But given that we have no idea what's going on with David Silva right now, and he may miss this match, Pep's going to have to change his rotation a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest potential absentee coming up the weekend, even though there's a couple retroactive bans that we'll get to as we move along. Silva, from what I've seen, was a serious family matter, so he's currently home with his family in Valencia. So, yeah, normally Gundogan would be the guy to slot in that midfield, but he played a ton of minutes and midweek in the penalties victory over Leicester City. That's why I waited for my transfers to bring in Sterling. So I think your best bet is probably him or maybe Aguero, depending upon what his status is.
And I know he's been never bet against KDB.
Exactly. You can never bet against KDB. From the Bournemouth side, however, do you see anything for them in this match? Do you think they could pull a fast one?
Nope. I don't think anyone can pull a fast one on Pep Guardiola.
I do agree with that. However, the guy I'm looking at, if you're looking for a clear differential slash roll the dice on someone and maybe get lucky, Jermaine Defoe.
Without Josh King?
Yes, because if Bournemouth manage to score, it's going to be Defoe. And he's got 2 goals in his last 3 matches. He got a brace against Crystal Palace, but he should have had a third over the weekend against Liverpool, hitting the foot of the post when he was sent through a one-on-one with Minulay. So,
and just because you said that, Andrew Sermon goal confirmed.
Yeah, I think I've kind of doomed myself there with the Sermon thing. But moving on to the next match, Southampton take on, I guess we could call them an upstart Huddersfield Town after last weekend's result.
I mean, that might be a little much. They've still got their issues, but so does Southampton, which should make this another barn burner of a 1-0 or 0-0 match.
Yeah, Southampton. Cedric Suarez could miss a few games. I know Bertrand is also in doubt. He's going to miss out this weekend and potentially is in doubt for the following match. This is going to be interesting. I don't really know which way to lean. I'd be leaning more towards a scoreless draw if I had to put money somewhere. From Southampton, I guess you got Charlie Austin. He's always a potential option, but I don't really know if I'd like him this weekend against Huddersfield Town.
Yeah, for Huddersfield, I've really just got the defense because even though a lot of them were in a row, they've kept 6 clean sheets this season, so 1 every 3 games, and I just feel that it's better to bet on one of their cheap defenders or Loso than it is to bet on Aaron Moy.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm on the other side of the fence of this because from watching them play, like I said before, when they win, Moy plays great. Now, that's kind of tough to figure in. How do you gauge that value in FPL? But then again, like we said,
if hockey assists counted, Aaron Moy would be money.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's why I like him more. He's a stud, and why I like him more in draft leagues. So I guess, I mean, my thing, though, is he's such a good budget option at $5.33 million. That's why I guess I would kind of lean towards him if I had to pick someone from this match.
I mean, that's definitely fair. I just lean on any of their defenders over him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's a fair point. But, yeah, well, it's questionable value, I guess, across the board. And I guess the same can be said for the next shit clash between Stoke and West Brom.
Yep, that's another not-too-fun match this weekend.
Yeah, we're coming off in our first episode. It was real high energy with a bunch of, okay, this is a good match for FPL-wise and stuff. And this week the slate is, I guess, the opposite.
I mean, you've got a few good games, but, like, outside of the actual big games this week, there's a lot of meh fixtures.
And okay, so, gun to your head, you got to start somebody from Stoke City. Who are you starting this week?
It's kind of similar to Watford. On Stoke, I only start Shaqiri and no one else.
Yeah, he's at $6.2 million. It's not terrible of a price for a club's premier attacking option, but I know we talked about it last week, and I will talk about it every time he comes up. It depends what Shaqiri you're going to get. Are you going to get the electric Shaqiri who cuts inside and lets rip from distance and, you know, and looks all fiery? Are you going to get the little whiny, pouty bitch who gets upset when he gets taken off after 70 minutes when he's out of the game and having absolutely no impact?
For 6.2, I'm willing to flip a coin there.
Yeah. And then on the flip side with West Brom, Ben Foster in goal at 4.4 million. I guess Hagazi, if you think you're going to get a clean sheet. But outside of that, I don't really like anyone else. There's value to be found in draft leagues, which we'll talk about a bit later. But as for, you know, your standard format, I just don't see anything. There's no need to go out and get someone from West Brom this week, I guess, in short.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was planning on doing that anyway, so.
The next match we're going to talk about was one that we teased in the introduction. The Paul Clement-less Swansea City are going to be taking on Crystal Palace.
Woo! I mean, for Palace, you really want to look at Wilfried Zaha again, but I'm not sure how much space he'll really have without Christian Benteke. And now with Paul Clement getting fired, you've kind of got the worry about the new manager honeymoon at Swansea. So even like starting RLC after his assist last week might be a little iffy.
Yeah, I don't. Who do you think's going to start up top? How do you think they're going to tweak the formation to cope with Benteke's absence?
I mean, I assume that it's going to be Sakho up top, but like no one's bringing in Sakho in FPL.
Yeah, I also know. I also saw that there's some Sakho's not a. Sakho. I was going to say Mamadou Sakho's out, not the other Sakho. Yeah, I mean, he's got two goals in back-to-back substitute appearances. Granted, though, they've come across 22 minutes of action, so that's not really a sustainable sample size.
Connor Wickham is healthy again?
Connor Wickham? Has he even played this season?
No, he hasn't featured yet this season, but he is back, and I guess against Swansea would be a good time as any to get him some game time.
But granted, you gotta watch out though, because there's always that element of uncertainty whenever an interim manager comes in or clubs change in the guard. So you never know what you're gonna get. I mean, I think there's an equal chance that Swansea get absolutely pulverized as they turn around and they put two or three past Crystal Palace.
Yeah, no, I mean, basically everything that I kind of thought on how this game was gonna go kind of went out the window with Paul Clement.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we were sitting down, we were getting ready to do the podcast. We had our notes set up, and then this came through, and I feel like everything just got turned on its head. I guess Fabianski, though. Fabianski's been reliable in goal.
Fabianski's always a good start.
Yeah, I was going to say. And, I mean, he makes a ton of saves. You know, he's got 10 saves over his last two matches, including that penalty stop on Rooney, which we found out Rooney was credited with an assist with Calvert-Lewin's goal. That was a little new thing for you, Chuck, right?
Yep. I did not know that that was counted as an assist, but you learn something new every day.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of great comments from the whole FPL community about that, saying, why is Rooney having an assist?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really care, though. I got the Calvert-Lewin goal. That's all that matters. The next match we're going to talk about, West Ham versus Newcastle. You want to lead us off talking about the Moyes boys?
Well, number one is going to be, how do they cope without Lanzini in this game? Because he's just been really returning to form, and now he's gone.
I'm assuming you've seen the highlight of what he got, the retroactive ban for diving. You think it was justified?
I mean, it's always gray area with that, because if what he did was justified, what a lot of other players have done in the Premier League this year should also have gotten those red cards, but apparently we don't have any consistency with these calls.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole retroactive ban thing, which we'll also talk a bit about when we get to Burnley, I think it's really interesting just because it's setting a very dangerous precedent moving forward. He did deceive the referee, and that was simulation by definition, so I don't have a huge complaint with it. And West Ham were also lucky, considering he got to serve the first match of that ban in the cup match at the midweek.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in his place, Moizavi's going to have to tinker with his line. Do you see any of the, I guess, players we would consider, you know, fringe options in FBL having bigger value with Lanzini out this week?
I mean, I'd like to assume that Mikel Antonio moves back to a more natural position for him by going out to the wing for Lanzini, and that we maybe see Chicharito actually feature up top again.
Ooh, Cheech. Yeah, he hasn't started a match since he's been returned to fitness.
Because unfortunately, he doesn't fit a David Moyes system. Because David Moyes is not a guy who's going to play anything on the ground into the box. And Chicharito is your prototypical poacher forward. Like, you give him anything on the ground, he knocks it in. But he only scores goals in the penalty area.
Yeah, I guess that would put, you know, depending upon where he plays, I do like Arne again. He got a goal against his former club last week. He kind of fits the style of play more. What about defensively? Do you like any of their defenders?
I'm slightly starting to warm to the idea of West Ham defenders, but as you being the person who actually owns two of them, I'll let you lead with that one.
Yeah, I was trying to tease that. So I currently have Adrian, I have Aaron Cresswell, and I brought in Masuaki this week.
Yeah, I'm living dangerously.
Very, very heavy on the hammers. And there's really, I guess the method to my madness is pretty simple. They're in form. They've looked great since Cresswell went from fullback to the left side of a back three. And they got good matchups coming up, plus a double game week. However,
and Newcastle's really bad.
And Newcastle are really bad. However, they do have the blank in game week 21.
Yeah, it's going to be fun seeing how you navigate those waters.
Yeah, I have probably the second we finish podcasting, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board to how to tinker. And I think we also did a pretty good job of brushing over the fact that Newcastle have no FPL value this week.
Yep.
I'm also liking how we're doing pretty good of making these sweeping declarations about which teams suck and have no value, considering last week Crystal Palace stomped on Leicester. But I am confident that Newcastle will not win. I guess Matt Ritchie would be the one player I would potentially consider if I was looking for a midfielder in the, you know, around $5.5 to $5.7 million. He's leading the Newcastle in assists. I believe he's got 8 FPL assists on the season. Or sorry, 7 on the season.
And, or but if he you, hasn't. Or if you want to catch lightning in a bottle, you could hope that Dwight Gale scores in the first 2 minutes of the game and ruins Sean's day.
I don't. First of all, we don't want that to happen. But secondly, I don't think Dwight Gale's that good.
No, there's a difference. You don't want that to happen. I want that to happen.
Yeah. Well, do you think? Okay, so Dwight Gale, let's look.
No,
last 4 matches,
he's not good.
He's got 2 goals. He's not good. But then again, he does have 2 goals in his last 4 matches, and that's a lot more than anyone else on Newcastle has right now.
I mean, the one thing that Newcastle's been doing very well is catching teams off guard very early in matches. If they don't score on you in the first 15 minutes of a match, you're good. But David Moyes better be on red alert to start the game.
Yeah, I'm seeing it right now. It's about the 6th minute. There's a mistake. Maybe someone slips. And then, you know, Dwight Gale goes in and finishes. And then I proceed to take my beautiful brand new iPad and throw it as hard as I can against the nearest wall in my house. Gosh, this could be a really bad weekend for me. I'm starting to realize if West Ham concede, I'm kind of toast. I didn't really think that fully through. I just was really stuck on the fact that Newcastle have been very bad lately.
Well, I'll be right there to make fun of you.
A team that has been very good lately, though. Burnley taking on your Spurs in the next match we're going to talk about.
Yep.
What do you think about the boys this weekend traveling to the fortress that is Turf Moor?
Well, Spurs are better as an away team than they are as a home team. And it took a 94th minute equalizer for Burnley to grab a point off Spurs the first time around. So I do feel pretty good in saying that Spurs will collect all 3 points on this one. But I also believe that for FPL prospects, Spurs have become the most frustrating team of the season. It's like, while Harry Kane is the top scoring forward, he has done all of his damage in essentially 7 games. And then you have Eriksen and Dele Alli, who are just the most disappointing premium midfielder combo on any team. And without, like, Toby Alderweireld and Victor Wanyama, the Spurs defense leaks more goals than the Titanic.
Yeah, and then you factor in Burnley has 6 clean sheets in their last home games, in their last 8 home games. I mean, I like Burnley a lot. I love Sean Dyche. I think it's not going to be an easy match for Spurs by any means. Then again, James Tarkowski, who's been a revelation at center back since Michael Keane left, he's been charged. He's facing a potential 3-match ban. Nothing has been finalized yet. If he's out, does that change your thoughts on the match, Chuck?
I mean, if anything, I think that in this match, him being out may give Burnley a better chance of collecting all 3 points, because Tarkowski has shown a very weird penchant of giving away penalties at very inopportune times in close matches. Looking back at that Burnley-Arsenal match.
Yeah, and then that would probably mean Kevin Long would come back or would stay in the side at center back, making him a huge differential guy to pick up to bank to save budget with. I believe he's only at 4 million right now, yep, and over the last 2 matches, yeah, he's got 15 points.
Yeah, he's one of the cheaper playing defenders out there.
Just looking at the rest of Burnley, you have Steven Ward, who has a 75% chance of playing with a knee injury. He's didn't play last week. I don't know what. I mean, he's not in my side. He's at 5.1 million. He's at 76 points on the season. If he's in your team, I would definitely try and look for a replacement, factoring in he's not fully fit, and we all know that Dyche doesn't like to play his guys unless they're 100% ready.
Yeah, I'm a Ben Mee owner. I'm sitting him in this game, and I'm hoping that I don't regret it like I did when I sat him last week.
Out of the Burnley attackers, I feel like we need to mention that Goodmunson has been awesome in draft formats since Robbie Brady went down, but we'll use this time as the disclaimer that he's still a huge gamble in FPL.
Yep, that's really about it.
The next match, we're going to talk about my boys Manchester United and Leicester City. What's on the forecast for this match? You think there's anything in it for the Foxes?
I don't believe that United are really able to keep a clean sheet right now. So I do feel confident that I'll get some semblance of a return from starting Mahrez. But I don't think there's any shot that Leicester wins this game.
Yeah, the interesting thing will be with Antonio Valencia having picked up what was believed to be somewhat of a hamstring strain against West Brom. He has a chance of playing. He's going to be a game-time decision. With so many matches coming up, though, there's a chance he could be rested. So that means either Darmian or potentially Rojo could start. Darmian would start at right back in a like-for-like swap, although he's been kind of out in the cold. While there's the potential of Ashley Young getting slid to the right and then having Rojo start at left back, I don't think it's going to be a massive impact without Valencia. I mean, he has been great. But then again, I think that United will concede, but I don't think that the absence of Valencia would be enough to tilt the tie in the Foxes' favor.
Yeah, I agree with that.
As for FPL stuff, you're definitely looking at Lukaku this week. Paul Pogba is going to be back, which is a massive for our attack. He's at 7.9 million, which is pretty affordable for the guy who's been pretty much Manchester United's best player when he's been on the pitch. And then there's also Jesse Lingard, who has been in great form lately and seems to have pretty much put a nail in Mkhitaryan's coffin for his future at Manchester United.
Yep, and we'll talk a little bit more about Jesse Lingard later in the show.
But before we get to that, we're going to start with the match that kicks off game week 19. We got a clash at the Emirates between Arsenal and Liverpool.
Goals galore.
Yeah, I'm getting this eerie feeling that this match is going to look a lot like the first match of the season when Leicester were defeated 4-3 by Arsenal at the Emirates. I'm really looking forward to this, especially considering it's going to be the first match of a game week with 9 games on Saturday. Looking at Liverpool, I know you brought Liverpool guy in this week up top. Are you going to be captaining for Mourinho this weekend?
Nope. Coutinho's still going to be my captain.
Coutinho.
But I am expecting better returns from Firmino than I got from Gabriel Jesus, even though that's not saying much.
Liverpool have scored at least 3 goals in each of their last couple matches against Arsenal under Klopp. So, I mean, that bodes well for them. What is your thought behind Coutinho over Roberto for your captain, though?
Just the way that Liverpool works, everything runs through Coutinho. Some things may end up eventually getting to other players, but if you want to bet on one person not named Mo Salah to actually get a return, it's Coutinho.
Yeah, I love Salah for this match. Arsenal could have Mustafi back, but I don't think that actually hinders Liverpool's chances of scoring. If anything, I think it might give them a better chance just because he's somewhat clumsy around the penalty area.
Yeah, it really isn't going to help Arsenal that much. Really, the biggest thing that we need to see is, will Arsenal revert back to 3 at the back versus 4 at the back? But given that Kolasinac played in their EFL Cup fixture, I'm thinking they're still going to roll out Maitland Niles and that Mo Salah is going to make him look silly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it's really weird. I mean, Kolasinac's got a ton of talent and he looks great going forward, but Arsenal have looked rather good since they swapped the formation. And that's also worth noting they're not going to have Olivier Giroud or Aaron Ramsey. So that means Jack Wilshere and Danny Welbeck could factor in. Most likely, if I had to pick one for the starting 11, though, it would be Jack Wilshere.
Oh, totally. And basically, the disclaimer with this game is avoid every defender and start your attackers.
Yeah, I don't think I could have said it better myself. And then I guess also a little fun fact, Peter Cech is, I believe, 1 clean sheet away from being the first keeper to get 200 clean sheets in the Premier League. So I don't think he's going to get it tonight, but that's another interesting storyline to look at.
Yep, that'll have to wait.
Yeah. But as we talked about it a bit, I want to get right to it when we were speaking about Manchester United. And we're going to start with our first listener question from FPL Murph. What are people doing with Henrik Mkhitaryan, Chuck? What the fuck is Henrik Mkhitaryan's value?
He has 9. Basically, you're selling him to whatever poor soul will offer you a trade, and you're taking whatever you can get if it's a starting or rotational piece, and you're running.
It's been disappointing being a United supporter, seeing him fall off. I mean, I'm surprised how far he's fallen. But then again, at the beginning of the season, if I had to pick, you know, an over-under on how many assists he would have, I mean, I would have put it towards 6 or 7 for the entire season. And I mean, considering he got 5 so quick out of the gates, and now he's buried down there, he's worth owning, I think, if you're in a deeper league. But if you're in, like, an 8-team league, you need to get rid of him.
Yeah, you just need to drop him at that point.
Yeah, you need to hope. And if you're in an 18 league, you can try and get rid of him. If you can't sell him, maybe hope whoever you're trading him to hasn't watched any Premier League matches in the last 2 months. But yeah, it's time to say that his ship has passed.
Yep. Now, moving on from that, in a similar question we have from the lawsuit. In draft format, Bernardo Silva or Jesse Lingard, which one's a better rotational fixture for game weeks 19 through 23?
I'm going to say it's very even. I don't know if one has a definitive edge over the other, just because there's a lot of things that are going to come into play that determine how much playing time both of them see. From Lingard's side, you got Pogba back in the team, so there's going to potentially be some formational tweaking, and he's probably not going to see starts in all those matches because United are going to rotate, and there's a ton of attacking talent that Jose Mourinho is going to have to balance too. I like Lingard from a Taga perspective, just because he'll probably see more minutes than Silva over that run of fixtures. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I mean, it's tough because Bernardo Silva is generally City's direct replacement for David Silva, which is why I think a lot of his value hinges on what's going on with Silva's current personal matters. If he's getting any semblance of consistent minutes, you're immediately starting him just because it's much better to own a member of City's attack than it is to own United's attack. And City also has a pretty favorable run of fixtures as well.
Yeah, I mean, United don't have terrible fixtures either. I guess from a statistical standpoint, Lingard's got 4 goals in his last 5 matches and 1 assist. He's created 8 chances, which is pretty solid. But looking at Silva's stats, you got to consider that he was lights out in his last league match.
Yeah, the man stuffs the stat sheet.
Yeah, I mean, he had 5 chances created against Swansea. Granted, that was Swansea, he got an assist. But still, I mean, that's a massive return. And against Tottenham, he had an assist off the bench. So.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry, I had to peep that in there. I don't know if you remember, the City just played Tottenham. They beat them 4-1, I believe.
Yeah, that game happened, and I'm trying to repress it, but thanks.
Did you watch that game?
Unfortunately.
Hey, it's all right. United got beaten by... I'm still not over that. It was quite a while ago, but...
Yeah, but I don't think I'll ever be over watching that game. It's probably one of the worst performances I've seen by Spurs recently.
Well, sticking with Man City, we got a question about Goodmunson for Fernandinho in a trade. What do you think about that? Goodmunson for Fernandinho.
I'm definitely taking Goodmunson, and by a pretty large margin. He was already kind of moving into the fray of being the man for Burnley, even with Robbie Brady in the side. And without Robbie Brady, he's now been on set pieces as well, which just skyrockets his value. Fernandinho has kind of been overperforming for the year for what you expect the central defensive midfielder to do. Just because City are scoring so many goals that a few have just happened to fall to him. But he's got a lot of room to regress to the mean.
Yeah, I'm 100% on Goodmunson, and thank you, Shatish, for the question. He's had double-digit points in every match except one since game week 10. And dating back even further, I mean, he's got. I mean, I'm getting a headache looking at how many little dots he's got across his stat sheet. He's been really good. I mean, Burnley have a tough run of matches coming up. But like you said, there's a bigger chance of Fernandinho regret.
Okay, and then from Patrick Byrne, we have a question. In Taga, should I trade away Firmino and Charlie Austin and return for Leroy Sané? What are you thinking there?
I don't think so. Mainly because I think if I had to pick one of the two out of Sterling and Sané, I would pick Sterling. And with trading away Firmino and Austin, you're giving up a number one forward and a third forward in majority of deeper leagues who's got second forward upside. Without even kind of looking at the stats, just based upon positional value, where you're going to get them and what you're giving up, that's kind of my take on it. Do you think, I mean, I'm not saying that it's something you need to totally overlook, but I just don't think it makes sense to give up those two guys for Sané.
Yeah, it's way too much to give up for Sané.
I mean, what would you give up right now in a trade for Sané? What do you think his value is?
That's tough because I feel like Sané is a player that you're going to have to buy high on, which I hate doing, just because of the fact that he's overperformed to start the season from what his actual projection should have been. Because he may have been like probably in like the 15 to 18 combined goals and assists for the season. And he's already gotten 11 combined.
Yeah, from a fantasy points standpoint, he's the fourth highest scoring midfielder right now.
Yeah, which so you're gonna that's have not going to gonna last.
Yeah, so the problem is you're buying him at what it would have cost to give up for someone for a first-round pick, which is why I think if you have him and you're trying to move him, now's a good time. But if you're looking to get him, you need to be... You need to realize that he's being pushed with the highest value he'll probably have for the rest of the season.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of guys who I would realistically give up for him, and it's kind of tough just because of that City rotation. I mean, maybe I would give up a solid forward two and a solid second midfielder with forward one or with midfielder one upside. Maybe like a Jirdan Shaqiri, because he's someone who's also going to fight. Yeah, so I guess turning around, going in a hypothetical, if you were going to try and acquire one of these elite midfielders, and I guess elite premium guys I'm going to say is Kevin De Bruyne, Christian Eriksen, Paul Pogba, you think that there's many trades that you could put together to get one of those guys? And this is really talking for people like me in Chuck and I's league, who are kind of mid-table, who need to do something huge to shake things up.
I mean, I think you can try and package Sadio Mane with either another midfielder two or a high-tier forward two, like Sadio Mane and Jamie Vardy. May be enough to net you a midfielder one.
Yeah, so for example, I have Dele Alli, and this is someone that I was just saying looking about moving, and then I have someone like Martial and Salah. Well, I won't be moving Salah. You know, if you own the likes of a Martial and a Dele Alli, that's someone to definitely look packaging. And if anyone in our league wants to make a trade for those guys, you can feel free to reach out to me.
Yep, you just lost all leverage.
Yeah. We got any more questions this week, Chuck?
Yep, we have one more, which is not really an FPL question, but it's still a soccer question, so it's worth asking. And that's from Jason Lockenfora asking, will Leeds get promoted this year?
Leeds. I haven't watched a ton of championship football this season. I know Wolves have been killing it at the top of the table. I guess I could see them. It's going to probably have to come through the playoffs, though. I think they're sitting seventh right now on the table.
Yeah, I kind of just think that they missed their window, because if they were going to get promoted, it was last year with Gary Monk.
But, and Chris Wood.
Yep. But with Monk leaving for apparently greener pastures at Middlesbrough, that says a lot about how things are going at Leeds.
Yeah, they're sitting on 36 points, so they're only 1 point off of Villa, who's in fifth. But then the table kind of opens up towards the top. Definitely something interesting, though. I mean, Leeds would be great to have back in the Premier League. But then again, I think if they're going to get promoted, it's going to have to go through the playoffs. I don't see them catching Cardiff, and I definitely don't see them catching Wolves.
Yeah. So you want to move into our specific predictions this week?
Yeah, why don't you get us started with this, because I got a little bit of a crazy one.
Okay, so I actually think that Leicester Man United and not Arsenal Liverpool will be the highest scoring match of the weekend.
Ooh. Care to explain?
I think that if United is without Valencia, that they're just going to get bombarded from the wings.
Jeez, I thought you were going to say something crazy like Watford would finish with 11 men.
Yeah, no, I've learned that I should probably ease off after saying both that Watford would finish with 11 men and that Mark Hughes would be without a job after losing to West Ham. That I should probably tone things down a little bit.
Well, my first prediction, I'm going to go with guaranteeing a goal for Jermaine Defoe against Manchester City. Lock it in.
Yep, if I was a betting man, I would be betting against that right now.
I don't think he's going to be the first one to score. I think it's probably going to come later on when City have the game handily, have the game in hand. But with Defoe's ownership at only 40%, he's a great forward to scoop in Taga, considering he's going to have a low floor as a third forward, but with a goal, he's going to be pushing for a top 10 value this week. Granted, it's hypothetical, but I think you could do a lot worse than him in the free agent market if you need a forward this week.
And I guess for my second one, I'm going to say that more than half of the home teams keep clean sheets this week.
Okay, I like that. I guess I'm going to stick with something along those lines. I'm going to go with there won't be more than two goals scored in the Tottenham-Burnley game. Now, that's not really a bold take, but I just think Burnley has such a fortress at home that maybe Kane nicks a goal, but I don't see them conceding more than two goals. And then if anything, I see that match headed for a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I have that as either like 1-0 or 2-1, because I do think Tottenham will handily win it. It just won't be a rout.
Yeah, and continuing on kind of players you're looking to stream if you need a one-week pickup. I mean, Burnley defenders, Kevin Long, if he's still out there in your league, considering Burnley defenders are been crazy with clearances and all defensive actions, so that's someone to consider. Let me check. I believe Kevin Long is only owned in, 18% of leagues, so he's someone out there if you need a defender to stream. He's going to have top 15, top 20 potential with a clean sheet. Outside of that, you know, maybe looking at 6 to 8 points. So just a little food for thought. You got anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay, well, that wraps us up for the second episode of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
Thanks for listening. Expect us back with some content coming out. A little Christmas Eve special. Nothing crazy, but we'll streamline the midweek fixtures for Boxing Day. May your arrows be green, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.